Ituraea, and Trachonitis, and Lysanias, tetrarch of Abilene. During the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him. Every valley shall be filled in, every mountain and hill made low. The crooked roads shall become straight, the rough ways smooth, and all the people will see God's salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
I think one of the unexpected consequences of this time that we're living in with lockdown and restrictions is that, for me anyway, I never really quite know what clothes to wear to church. That's because with doors open, it can be really rather chilly despite the underfloor heating. Alan Goldie and I hosted St. Mark's Junior School carol service and Christingle service on Tuesday, and with kind of lots of children in the place, as well as parents and teachers, one of our concerns, apart from the children holding lighted candles and not setting each other's hair on fire, was how can we be warm enough, actually, and still be welcoming? I didn't want to look like that because I didn't feel that was kind of the image that we were wanting to present at St. Francis. So in the end, we just took to wearing layer after layer after layer of clothes, and it was fine. So my first question for you to maybe turn to somebody who's sitting close to you, saying, what's the coldest place that you've been in, and how many layers of clothing did you need to keep warm? Well, if I may interrupt your conversation, clearly some of you have been to some very cold places. And maybe it was because I was thinking of layers of clothing last week that as I started to ponder these words in Luke's gospel, really I had what I saw in those six verses was layer upon layer of stories of that connection between God, the divine, and humanity, his creation. That connection that's it's almost a dance, as it were, as God reveals himself and woos his children to say, won't you come and know me? Won't you come and follow me? And so I kind of saw these stories there, which I just wanted to share some of them with you this morning. So the first layer of the story is actually, I saw in Luke's writing, where in this part he is really careful to date what he is saying about John the Baptist's public ministry as it begins. And that's kind of, it's in line really with what he wrote at the very beginning of his gospel when he said, many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled. And goes on to say, and I myself have carefully investigated everything. So there's Luke there wanting to make sense of the extraordinary events surrounding Jesus Christ, realizing that this extraordinary love story needed to be told. I wonder if he had any idea that 2,000 years later we would still be reading his orderly account and that it would be considered the word of God. There's a kind of surprise and wonder in this story that we never know when the words that we speak or what we write down might be taken up by God and used for his purposes. But even as he writes these verses, I see another layer. I'm going to give you the tidy side to look at. It's a story with a background of oppression and domination, fear and resentment, pride and resilience, as the Jewish nation lives under the Roman Empire, waiting for their Messiah to come and rescue them. So in this story too, there's another layer of waiting, of hoping, of trusting, of never giving up. The word of the Lord came to John while he was in the desert. And the desert was an instantly recognizable place by those first readers or listeners to this. A place of desolation, maybe. A place of testing. Maybe a place of silence. But it's also a place where God does business with his people. So Moses and the children of Israel in the desert. Well, you know, these are the stories, the narratives that the Jewish faith is built on. They're stories of doubts and wrestling, of misunderstanding, as well as triumph and transformation. Luke quotes Isaiah. Another layer. And this is written originally as a rallying call to the Jewish nation in Babylonian exile. And it uses imagery that would be familiar to those listeners, as it talks about a construction of a highway which is magnificent and splendid, and it's built to honor the arrival of a Babylonian leader, some great person. But actually, Isaiah is taking it and saying, do this because God's salvation is coming. And he's wanting to encourage those people, the faithful ones, to prepare and look for the salvation of God. There's a story layer in that that speaks of battles won and lost, of acknowledging failure and finding forgiveness. I think that's... I missed Isaiah there. Where am I supposed to be pointing this? No, it's just maybe a bit slow. Thank you. Okay, there you go. There's Isaiah. There's a story layer in this that is about the calling of these prophets. So Isaiah's calling, I don't know whether you can see that, but it involved an angel and a burning coal touching his lips. And Isaiah prophesied to kings and leaders at the time. And then there was John with his miraculous conception and parental, his father had a vision of an angel, as he struggled to believe the impossible that he could have a child. So within this layer, there's story of supernatural communication, of God reaching down to his people and catching them up to see heavenly visions. There's a story layer here that gives purpose and meaning to life. Then there's a layer too of, mustn't forget my layers. There's a layer of fulfillment of promises, as Luke links John the Baptist's coming to the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy that was 600 years before. So there's a story here of preparation, of action, a story of patience rewarded, of renewed hope and faith. Well, undoubtedly, there's probably more stories if we looked for them. But they all reflect something of God's relationship with us, something of his character. But what I find quite extraordinary, quite amazing, is that I wondered if you could see anything of your story in some of those things that you've just heard. Because the reality is, these narratives, these stories, don't just stop here in the Bible. It's continuing today. It's continuing over the centuries. It's continuing today. So I just wondered if you could just have a little chat with your friends or the people next to you. Might be different, could be the same. What story layers could you add from history, recent or otherwise, of times that you have seen this interconnection between God and his people? It might not take you very long. So I think you're doing pretty well, unless you're talking about what's for lunch. What I was hoping to just explore was about how our stories relate, whether there was something in some of those layers that I've looked at, was that sometimes that we can see ourselves in them, I suppose. And I think that's what the exciting thing was about this. So I'm going to add another layer, which is, it seemed a good idea at the time, which is about my mother. There she is when she's about age 12. And I guess it's because I thought it was a good idea because I think about her quite a lot. She lives a couple of hours away from me, and you're probably never likely to meet her, so I thought I'd introduce you to her. And this is a little bit of her story. So she got married. Jumping ahead of the story. She got married at 18 and had what might be called quite a traditional marriage. So she stayed at home and looked after dad and the home, and very quickly 5 children came along. That's me in the bottom right. I think my sister had attacked my fringe with a pair of scissors. I haven't forgotten that. So that was her life, looking after the family. Dad died quite young, and so in her early 50s, she became, she was looking what to do, really, and she became what's called a country cousin, and they still are around today, and it's somebody who goes and lives for a fortnight in somebody else's house with someone who is maybe old or frail, and basically looks after them, as a cousin would. So she would do a little bit of light cleaning, she would cook for them, she would take them out, maybe not nursing care, but just generally look after them. At the age of 75, by the end of this sermon, I'm going to get the hang of this. She was cleaning for a widowed neighbour who couldn't really manage on his own. And I haven't got a picture of her cleaning, so that's just her after she's cleaned, no doubt. And at 84, she was taking a lady with dementia to the local knitting club, and also doing a bit of shopping for some neighbours who were in their 90s in the little cul-de-sac where she lives. And now, for health reasons, she is more or less confined to her home. But there she is. She's cutting up some runner beans for me. Well, there is a point to this little story, apart from introducing my mother to you, is because although her story, her layer, may seem rather mundane compared to Isaiah's or John the Baptist's or Luke, in actual fact, what I see in my mother's life is one that's lived faithful to God. I see a reflection of the servant heart of Jesus Christ. I see a countercultural way of living that actually challenges the values of our society today. I have my own story layer, but actually, and how I come to wear the new women's clergy jumper, even if you're a Guardian reader. But actually, I'm going to tell you about that another day. Because Luke here has drawn on layers of story, of narrative, from the ancient past and his past, in which I think we can see reflections of our own story. That maybe in some of those stories there are themes that we can relate to and understand. That actually the call of John the Baptist that went out, start getting ready for the salvation of the Lord, is as relevant today as it was back then. Because the truth is, there is room for more story layers. There's more stories of the incredible connection that happens between God and his people. And the invitation of Jesus Christ is to say, come. Come and join the story of God's purpose for creation. Come and join the layers of stories that stretch back thousands of years, but also forward into eternity. The invitation of Jesus Christ is to say, come, let's do this life together. Could that be your story?